Good morning, I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to be with you for today's edition of All Sides Weekend / The Arts. And boy, do we have a show for you. We have three members of the Columbus Symphony who will be with us for the hour to talk about the Columbus Symphony Orchestra's past, present, and very much their future. There have been some rocky roads, there have been some controversy, and there have been a lot of wonderful concerts. Our guests are Betsy Sturdivant, who is principal bassoon of the Columbus Symphony, Gene Stanley, principal horn, and Andy Millett, principal trombone. How did I do with that? Pretty good? Okay.
Pretty close.
Let's just get some basic housekeeping out of the way first. We're going to have a conversation. Eventually, I'm going to ask for calls from the listening audience, comments. You can call us. You can go to our Facebook page. You can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We need to know you're out there as we talk about the Columbus Symphony and the arts in Columbus. Betsy Sturdivant, bassoon, how long have you been with the Columbus Symphony? And tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Johnson City, New York, and I attended the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, where I was fortunate enough to play second bassoon in the Rochester Philharmonic while I was a student. And then right after graduating, the Columbus Symphony happened to have a principal bassoon opening, and I was the lucky winner of that audition, so I moved here right after graduating from Eastman. And I've been here ever since, and it's been a long time. I came in, many of the musicians that you see on stage these days came into the orchestra during the early to mid-80s when the orchestra was transitioning from, well, I guess you'd call it a part-time, maybe a per-service orchestra. In fact, some people have called it a housewives orchestra, which I think is a funny term. And there actually were some people who would fit that description when I came here. There were some, you know, people who just kind of were housewives, and the orchestra only, like probably during the 70s, I imagine, the orchestra only rehearsed at night so that people could have day jobs or they could run the household during the day, and then at night they would come and rehearse and have concerts. And
so it went to full professional status in the 80s.
I think the transition began in the early 80s, and that's when many of us came in, including myself, and
I'm curious about one thing that I just have to ask you. You said that you came here in response to a job opening and
yes. You
presumably auditioned. How many people were up for the job when you got it?
That's a really good question. Most people don't know how competitive this field is. And when I auditioned here, I remember the preliminaries alone took 3 full days. There were a lot of applicants for the principal bassoon job. And there hadn't been a principal bassoon audition in a long time. Oftentimes, for a bassoon player who wants to work in an orchestra, we might have to wait years before there's an opening for an orchestra. You know, like, for example, over the past year, there was one audition for an orchestra that was principal bassoon, and I don't even think they hired a winner. So jobs are few and far between in this field. So anyway, the preliminaries when I auditioned here took 3 full days. And so that should give you an idea of, and they give each applicant approximately, I'd say, 5 minutes to play. So 5 minutes apiece for 3 full days of preliminaries, that's a lot of bassoon players. And they came from all over the world, not just all over the country. So the musicians in the Columbus Symphony move here from all over the planet to play in the Columbus Symphony. That's something that a lot of people don't realize.
And they get here by way of a very grueling audition process.
That
as
is
well.
Correct.
Very
the,
grueling.
Right,
so if you survive that, you can survive anything.
You can survive. That's true. It's very true. It's the most stressful act known to mankind.
Gene Stanley, how about you? How long have you been with the orchestra? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the son of 2 French horn players who played in the Pittsburgh Symphony, Forrest and Patricia Stanley. And I attended the Curtis Institute of Music in the 70s. And ended up subbing with the Philadelphia Orchestra and actually subbed with them for a number of years in the 1980s.
Was it Ormandy conducting
No,
then?
Ricardo Muti.
Muti, oh.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate to be able to go on some tours and do recordings and things like that. I joined the Columbus Symphony in 1990, the fall of 1990. I've been there ever since. And we had a tough audition, and they put me in the preliminary, no special treatment, and but thank goodness it worked out, and I've been there ever since. And music, to me, is a very wonderful thing. I've had to be exposed to the type of environment in Philadelphia and the Curtis Institute And the Philadelphia Orchestra really opened my eyes to music and the subtleties, the beauty, the majesty. And, you know, it's not just about the notes. It's about phrasing and beauty and things like that. And I try to keep that in my playing whenever I can.
The notes are just the point of departure, really. You have to get
exactly.
the notes right. But other than that, you have to then become a musician.
If you get bogged down on just playing the notes, then
it's boring.
It's a futile effort, really. Yeah.
And Andy Millett, principal trombone, how about you? Tell us about yourself and when you came to the Columbus Symphony.
Well, I came about the same time as Gene, maybe 6 months or so earlier. But I'm a native Buckeye, born and raised in the Dayton area. And as far as my upbringing, I'm kind of the outlier in my family, no other professional musicians. But I kind of took a Western swing, went out to Colorado and joined the Air Force Academy Band as an enlisted professional musician in my 20s. And from there, I decided I didn't want to make a career of the Air Force, so I took the opportunity to audition for the Dayton Philharmonic, and which was I guess pretty much like a housewife's orchestra at that time.
And let's be careful with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing against housewives.
I know what you mean.
But a part-time orchestra, and was fortunate to win the audition there and have three good years in my hometown. And then wanting to kind of take a step up, heard about the audition in Columbus, and was very fortunate to remain here in my home state. And for my audition, I don't recall there wasn't a horde of trombonists, and I take that to mean maybe some people were a little bit scared of Christian Badia,
who was
the music director at that time,
which is the principal conductor, right?
And I mean, I had people and colleagues who said, "Oh, you don't want to get mixed up in the Columbus Symphony with Christian Badia. He's, he's a real monster or whatever." You know, he did have a bit of a showed a bit of the old touch of authoritarian conductor in him. But I always, had great time, great musician, and. I think at the time I came in, he was looking to mend fences and to move the orchestra along, and wonderful conductor, wonderful musician. And so I've had a home here for the last 21 years or so.
Now, what I'm hearing from each of you that's in common is that the audition process to get a job in this profession as an orchestra musician playing classical music is very grueling. And you get to that audition after years and years and years of training, education, either formal education. You said the Curtis Institute of Music and the Eastman School of Music, those are the Rolls Royces of and Juilliard and Indiana. But those are the really, I mean, not everybody gets to go to those schools. And Curtis is tuition free, so you've got to be really, really tremendous to get to that. Mm-hmm. People look at the orchestra at concerts and they see you all on stage. And after the end of 2 hours, they applaud and they go home and they think that's all you do. I want, first of all, for people to hear the Columbus Symphony right now, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about what it is to be in the Columbus Symphony. Here's that. We have three orchestral excerpts. This is from last November 19th at the Southern Theater, conducted by Jean-Marie Zaitouni. That was a little excerpt from Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Cellos, as performed at the Southern Theater by Pean Chow and Luis Biava, and the Columbus Symphony, members of the symphony, and our conductor Jean-Marie Zaitouni. We'll have a little more bombast later in the program, but that was a very special concert. It featured a number of you front and center as soloists, which is always good. But what is it? What is it to be in a symphony orchestra? Why is it a good job?
Well, I love it. I think of the phrase, the sacrament of ensemble. I look around and I see these fabulous musicians, my friends, and then the downbeat comes and we join together. And the audience, I think, feels some of that that sense of belonging in something, you know, bigger than yourself.
Yes, and the musicians, we get to know each other. We get to know each other's playing. And so little subtleties like intonation, style, tone quality, and that sort of thing, we just get to know each other. And, you know, it's a family, too, and families are sometimes have squabbles and things like that. And they're not many, but they do happen. And I think it's for the better good of the orchestra. As long as we have a strong leader on the podium, I think it all gets to a very positive outcome and a very fine performance. It's amazing the difference between a rehearsal and a performance.
Jean-Marie Zaituni is the music director. What does that mean?
It means that he's our primary conductor, and also he has artistic leadership duties, which means that he chooses our programming. He chooses our guest artists and our guest conductors, and that's quite a responsibility. It's a lot of work.
How hard is it to be? I mean, you know, I would think that a lot of really fine conductors still would not necessarily be a great music director because of the other responsibilities that go on, either mm-hmm. in the community. You know, there's a certain amount of glad handling, and everything you do has to involve fundraising. That has to be true. What's the difference between a great conductor and a great music director?
Well, we've had many great conductors that will come and go, come and rehearse and conduct us for the week, and these are the guest conductors, and sometimes a music director can act like a guest conductor, in the sense that they just care about the music, they just want to stand on the podium and do that end of it, but maybe just pay lip service to the fundraising or whatever. And I feel we're so fortunate to have a music director now. Jean-Marie is involved in every aspect of running a symphony orchestra.
We have to take a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. My guests are Gene Stanley, principal horn of the Columbus Symphony, Betsy Sturdivant, principal bassoon, we're all principals except me, and Andy Millett, principal trombone. Three musicians from the Columbus Symphony. We're back in 60 seconds.
This is 89.7 NPR News. And if you're listening right now on 820 AM, know that WOSU Public Media will no longer be broadcasting on 820 after 5 p.m. today. So tune to 89.7 FM to hear your favorite programs like Weekend Edition, This American Life, All Sides with Ann Fisher, Talk of the Nation, and all of your favorite shows. You can also stream NPR and local programming from your computer or mobile device at WOSU.org. And be sure to set your radio dial to 89.7 FM right now.
Support for 89.7 comes from Columbus College of Art and Design, where the spring semester of Saturday morning art classes for children and youth begins February 4th. Information and online registration are available at www.ccad.edu.
All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are back. Thank you, Amy Jurevich, our producer, with our three members of the Columbus Symphony. We are spending the hour talking about and listening to the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, Gene Stanley, principal horn, Betsy Sturdivant, principal bassoon, and Andy Millett, principal trombone. All of them have many years of service with the Columbus Symphony. All of them have been through grueling years of training and education and auditions and other gigs they got before they got here. They've spent the last few minutes telling us about that. But right now, let's hear another bit from the Columbus Symphony. This was from the concerts of October 22nd in the Southern Theater.
Thank you.
Leonard Bernstein's Serenade after Plato's Symposium from the concert October 22nd in the Southern Theater, conducted by Jean-Marie Zaitouni. Let me ask, Betsy Sturtevant, when you first came to Columbus and you sat for your first rehearsals in the orchestra, what did you find?
Okay. I hope it's okay to say this, but when I first came here, I was a little bit worried that I had maybe not made a good decision in leaving the Rochester Philharmonic, because the Columbus Symphony was not as good, let's put it that way. But now, things are quite different. The experience in playing for Jean-Marie Zaitouni is a whole different ballgame from what I've experienced here in the past. And he really is an absolute world-class conductor and musician, and he brings his high standards to us with great effectiveness.
He's also a nice guy, which I think helps. I mean, at least off the podium, when I see him, he's perfectly charming and nice. You could see him in Kroger and just, you know, he's like a regular guy. He's very, very nice. How about you, Gene? What did you find when you got here first?
When I first got here, it was very interesting. I remember this one concert I'll never forget. It was a Mozart piano concerto, and near the end of the first movement, and this was one of my very first concerts, there was some commotion going on in the audience, and I could hear walkie-talkies. It was obvious that there were some medical people there, and there was some kind of medical emergency going on. And so after the end of the first movement of the concerto, Christian Badia turned to the audience and said, we're going to take a slight break so that the person who's disturbing the concert can be removed from the theater. And those words, I'm afraid, didn't go over very well.
I wouldn't think so. No.
And the poor woman who collapsed actually passed.
Okay.
That was one of my first concerts. Welcome to Columbus.
Okay. I think that was an anomaly. I don't think that's something that really one can expect by visiting a Columbus. They take very good care of people in the Ohio and Southern theaters, I happen to know. Andy Millett, what did you find when you first came into the symphony to start playing?
Well, for a trombone player, one of the biggest dilemmas, I think, is how loud should you play?
How loud should you play?
the trombone is potentially one of the, if not the loudest instruments in the orchestra, and you have this we have to develop the full range of our dynamic, the volume and. You have in your power, the ability to kind of blanket the whole orchestra. And when do you use it? And when do you play a whisper soft? And it's hard to gauge that when you're in a new orchestra, in a new hall. And so you look to the music director, and fortunately, Maestro Badia liked a strong sound from the brass. As did Maestro Siciliani. That's the big question. How loud do I play?
Well, play as loud as you want, as far as I'm concerned, because I always enjoy you. I think you should all play just as loud as you want to. Let me ask you also, first of all, let me invite people to call 292-8513 if you'd like to talk about the Columbus Symphony with three of their leading players. Again, 292-8513. You can send an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook, All Sides Weekend. Let me ask, what about the audiences? Have you seen a change in audiences? I don't know if have you sensed a change? Because I know when you're sitting on stage working, you must be able to sense the energy from the other side of the footlights. Has that changed?
It has changed in the Southern Theater. Now we're performing concerts there, and there is much more connection between the musicians and the audience in the Southern. The hall has a sense of presence not only physically but musically as well. Because when you're sitting in the Southern Theater, You're as if you're sitting in the orchestra. In the Ohio Theater, I haven't had many opportunities to hear the orchestra from the audience in the Ohio Theater, but when I have, I've been so disappointed because there's no sense of presence there. It's as if you're listening to a stereo system with the volume turned way down. That's the way it seemed to me when I was in the Ohio Theater. But in the Southern, it's quite the opposite. It's as if the audience is involved with the orchestra. And I've noticed also a younger group of people coming to the Southern concerts.
I've noticed the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys are good. The old argument, which people love to put out there, that the audience is really gray and elderly. There are certainly a number, God bless them, of people who come for years, but there are a lot of people. I was at a recent concert that you all played where I was one of the youngest people in the audience, oldest people in the audience, rather. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, they are skewing. It's becoming a date night destination, I think, for Columbus Symphony.
For families, too. I see a lot of families with young children come through the door, and, boy, I love to see that.
Yeah, that's nice. Everybody loves the Southern Theater. Everybody who plays in the Southern Theater or who listens to music there in the Southern. How about for each of you? Betsy, you've already shared that it's a great experience for you. How about you, Gene?
I think it's a lovely place to play, and the sound is very pleasant. I think the stage could benefit from a shell in the background. A lot of the sound goes right into the backstage area, but as Betsy said, it's a very very pleasant sound, very intimate setting, and I think the audience and the musician connection seems stronger there.
We have a lot of people waiting on the phone to talk to each one of you, but I wanted to also just throw out there. What to you makes a good program? How important is what you play for the audience? Not how, but really what, like Mozart, Brahms, Beethoven, whatever. What makes a really exciting program?
Well, I have to say, I want proviso. It doesn't have to include trombones for it to be an exciting program. For instance, I thought the program that you've played a couple excerpts from in the Southern Theater was exquisite, just dynamite. It had the drama of it. I love the drama. It had the most hushed kind of strings and the Barber Adagio for strings, as well as the dynamism, the fast tempos and the Bernstein and the Bartok.
Zaituni gets dynamics.
Yes.
In terms of just the volume of the pieces and the balance of it. He really understands that. And I think variety is the key to any successful artistic endeavor, to give the audience all kinds of different things. We have Ted on the line from Columbus, and Ted is going to ask you the multi-million dollar question, which is, what is the future of classical music in our modern society? And that's always a good question. Hi, Ted, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Yes, I have three children that all are classically trained, a violinist, a cellist, and a violist. And two of them live in Louisville, one lives in Columbus here, and they're either working in the symphony or trying to get jobs in symphonies, and many symphonies are going under, as you know, and or at least restructuring. What do you see? How can we get people excited about listening to 55 minutes of Shostakovich again?
Thanks, Ted. Good question. Go ahead. Who wants to take that? Gene?
Sure, I'll take it. Well, Shostakovich wrote 15 symphonies, and they do vary. Some wonderful bassoon solos in some of the higher number symphonies, but my favorites are the 5th, the 10th, the 11th, are those three, and actually 7, 8, and 9 are great too, but it's just so full of Russian history, and that's the wonderful thing about music. There's so much history, there's so much religion, there's so much inspiration. It's truly about the human condition, and composers like Shostakovich, Tchaikovsky, all the great Russian composers are—it's just mind-boggling with what they do with their music.
Betsy, Andy, singular together, the future of what you do, future of classical music, getting people in and getting them to stay, and then bring their kids.
I think the future is very bright. If you have to realize though that in our society, what is on the front page of Entertainment Weekly is the flavor of the week and. That doesn't mean that everything else has gone away. Nothing really goes away in our culture, it seems like. We don't want to be marginalized anymore. We understand we're not the flavor of the week. We're not the flavor of the decade, maybe. But we have very substantial support, and I think the listenership of 101.1 is very strong and very supportive. And I think the support for the Columbus Symphony is there, and maybe we're not tapping at all. I think we could do a better job of that.
We have a call from Molly who wants to know about the chorus in the Columbus Symphony, and I'm glad to have that question. Hi, Molly.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My question is, I was wondering how the dynamic changes when you involve the chorus in your concerts, and has that performance been better with the involvement of Jean-Marie? And how does that compare to your experiences in other orchestras?
Thanks, Molly. Thank you. Go ahead. Who wants to take that? Andy?
An important factor is mutual respect. I think that the chorus really likes and respects Jean-Marie, and because they see his sophistication, his deep commitment to the music. I love it when we have the chorus. They are some of our biggest supporters, and to me, to be right next to the chorus when they sing, I'm sitting right in front of the chorus, and sometimes the children's chorus. I love it, and I wish the audience could have that perspective too, of being right in the midst of it.
We're fortunate to have one of the finest choruses in the country. Ron Jenkins does a magnificent job.
He does, indeed, yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
magnificent.
And that's an all-volunteer chorus, we should add as well.
Yes.
The people give their time, and they're always really splendid. We have an email from Sarah. I have a young son who's 10 years old, very interested in music. I want to take him to his first concert soon. Is there an upcoming performance you would recommend that would inspire my young musician? Any program coming up? And I just happen to have the schedule in case you don't have it on top of your head of what's coming up.
We're playing Beethoven 7th with Jean-Marie in January. That should be a very fine concert for him to go.
You're absolutely right. Indeed you are. Yes, that would be a very good. That's January 7th, 6th and 7th in the Ohio Theater, I believe.
No, that's in the Southern.
That's in the Southern, even better.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you go on the Columbus Symphony website, columbussymphony.org, you'll find something for everybody, really. You'll actually find a good fit. And if you still are looking, give me a call at the station, and I'll help recommend you as well.
And the family concert coming up,
yeah, talk
too.
About that. Talk about the family. Because, again, let's get back to the point is that a lot of people only see you folks on the stage a few hours a week, but that's 10% of your lives, professional lives. So let's do the family concerts and the children's concerts first, because I don't know that much about them, and I should.
Well, the family concerts usually take place in the Reif Theater the theater of the Reif Center, we have family friendly music. I think we have family friendly music most of the time, but it's even more so, and especially with Albert George Schramm conducting many of these concerts. What a live wire.
He's a Pied Piper. He's great. I love him. Yeah, he's terrific. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of done for outreach in the orchestra that you all do to get everybody into the theater.
That's right. We even do young people's concerts in the Ohio Theater where school districts bus in their students to the Ohio Theater, which is a big event for those children. They really enjoy it. And that way we can play for a lot of different schools at once. And sometimes also the musicians drive their cars to various schools throughout Franklin County, and we do in-school concerts in gymnasiums and cafeterias and wherever they'll have us.
Yeah, I did Tubby the Tuba with you in a gymnasium, and I screwed up because I can't count. But anyway, and Albert George Schramm yelled something I can't say on the air, and everything was wonderful. Everything turned together. Lori from Hilliard is on the phone. She has a related question. A very good basic question. What's a good age to get the kids going to the symphony? Hi, Lori. Lori?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking. Yes, I have a 6 and a 9-year-old, and a friend told me that they really don't want children at the symphony. So if they're good at sitting still, can you just take them to the regular symphony?
Who told you that?
Oh, gosh, absolutely.
We're getting a lot of disconcerted looks here.
Bring them.
Yes, we want your children.
Yeah, we want them. Leave them off for a few days. Sure, bring them.
They love classical music, and I know they would sit still because they would enjoy the music. I didn't know if a 6-year-old was too...
I can give you a tip on that if you want, and that is that if you take them to the very top of the Ohio Theater, There's a lot of room in the back there, and we have had kids running around that and not disturbing anybody, and they would stop. I guess I shouldn't say that, but I just did anyway. I don't care. But really, as Betsy said, we want the kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
yeah.
We'll really, I know people will really do everything they can to make it available to them, and that's a big mission for them.
I've never heard any restrictions on children's attending concerts. That's the first I've heard of.
And listen, I'm up there Saturday nights broadcasting. Bring all the kids you want. Listen, come on. John from Marysville wants to know the costs for families and kids at Columbus Symphony concerts. I'm not sure we have that at our fingertips, but I can refer.
I'm sure it's on columbussymphony.com.
It is. Yeah. So make good use of that website. That should give you everything you need to know. I want to hear one more excerpt of music from the Columbus Symphony. I believe this is also from the concert in the Southern Theater from last October 22nd. Betsy Sturdivant and I were blissing out just a moment ago. That's music. Tell me about, because you played in that. Tell
about
that.
It was one of the best experiences of my entire life, playing the Strauss Duet Concertino for clarinet, bassoon, and string orchestra and harp with the Columbus Symphony with Jean-Marie Zaituni conducting. It was just such an incredible experience. It's a difficult piece, but under Jean-Marie's
direction.
Right. Not done very often because it's so difficult. But the Columbus Symphony just did a fantastic performance of it under our music director, Jean-Marie Zaituni, and it was just an incredible experience. It's a great, great piece of music, one of my all-time favorites, and it was such an honor to get to perform that.
Played to packed houses, too, I might add.
That's right.
I mean, there were packed houses. People are flocking to the Southern Theater to hear music. The Columbus Symphony management is now in the hands of Kappa.
Right.
I believe that are really the reason for that, I would think, is that they do a great job.
Right.
You know, they've really created a new arts culture for downtown Columbus and further. They're in a couple of different states. There have been some mutterings about Kappa's involvement. What do we say to those mutterers?
Well, I would say we are on solid ground, and that is a good thing. And I think our future looks very solid, and it looks promising. Nothing's guaranteed. I think it's still up to the support for the orchestra, but I think Kappa will do well for us, and I'm confident that Bill Connor and everybody down there at 55 East State Street will make the symphony a very successful organization.
You don't argue with success, and they've had a lot of success doing what they're doing. I want to make sure everybody's aware of our website, which will have on it all Columbus Symphony information as well, wosu.org/allsides. You can go one-stop shopping. Again, wosu.org/allsides. We're going to take a break and be back in less than 1 minute and continue this discussion with the Columbus Symphony. Call us, 292-8513.
Wrong number.
On the next Fresh Air, we listen back to an interview with soul singer Howard Tate. He got a second chance after he walked away from his career and eventually became homeless. He died last week at the age of 72. Also, Werner Herzog talks about his documentary Cave of Forgotten Dreams. It's now on DVD. Join us. Don't need
the pain. And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And later today at 5 p.m., WOSU Public Media will no longer be broadcasting on 820 a.m. To hear your favorite program, set your radio right now to 89.7 NPR News, where you can listen to Weekend Edition, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Fresh Air, All Sides with Ann Fisher, and all of your favorite shows. You can stream NPR and local news anytime online at WOSU.org from your computer or mobile device. And be sure to set your radio dial to 89.7 FM, especially today after 5 p.m.
Support for 89.7 comes from Global Gallery, a nonprofit featuring fair trade coffee and handcrafts from around the world in the Short North and in Clintonville Commons on North High Street. Information at ggfairtrade.com.
37 degrees in downtown Columbus, clouds today and a high of 41. Clear skies tonight, but cold, a low of 20. Sunny for Saturday, a high of 32. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich, Betsy Sturdivant, Principal Bassoon, Andy Millett, Principal Trombone, Gene Stanley, Principal Horn. Three members of the Columbus Symphony are my guests for today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. 292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to get in the conversation. You can also send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. We've had a lot of people asking about children's concerts. We've covered that. We've covered family concerts. Clearly, the administration and the artists of the symphony want the kids to come in and do everything they can to empower that and make that happen. Now, a lot of people who wouldn't call themselves regular concert goers know about the Columbus Symphony for not great reasons, because in the papers in the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a lot of bad news, you know, a lot of unhappy news.
Controversy.
Controversy. Can you, in a nutshell, tell us what happened? Not a big nutshell, I grant you, but what happened? The orchestra shut down at one point and went away, and it's hard to get back to where you were when that happens. But what was the bad stuff?
And the budgets were not being met, and I think the the overall support for the orchestra from the structural corporate world were getting impatient with the fact that every single year we weren't achieving our budget goals and things like that, and so they decided to restructure the orchestra, and a lot of orchestras have done that. And I think it's a choice of either restructuring or ceasing to exist. And I think we took the better choice in this particular situation.
Betsy, what's your take on what happened? Because I know you're involved in a couple of committees, as are many of your colleagues, and you were kind of in the front lines of what was going on.
Right. Just to follow up with what Gene just said, I think that because CAPA is a highly respected organization in Columbus, I think that the esteem of the Columbus Symphony in the corporate community has been raised significantly due to the fact that we're now being run by CAPA. And I think that that's been a huge benefit to us, a saving factor, I think, really.
So basically it was strictly a fiscal issue that was the problem a few years ago. It was the money just wasn't there, wasn't coming in. What? People were help me out here.
We had a number of controversies starting shortly after our trip to Carnegie Hall.
That was right. That was the apex, I think, of the history of the orchestra. That was in 2000.
2001.
One, yeah,
2001.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And shortly after that, they announced that Maestro Siciliani's contract would not be renewed, which came as rather surprising news to a lot of people.
Surprised the audience, I know. Tell
yes.
you that, yeah.
And that seemed to be the beginning of our troubles throughout the decade. And I think it peaked in about 2005, 2006, where we had to reopen our contract a couple of times and take some cuts and that sort of thing. And so it's been a bumpy road. But I think now that we have Jean-Marie Zaituni at the helm and CAPA supporting us, I see a very bright future for the orchestra at this point.
I do as well. And again, I must tell you, because I stand up there at the very top of the theater where we do our broadcasts from. So I see the audience, maybe even more than some of you because you're working. But it is skewing younger. There are more of them coming. It's starting to get cool, starting to be cool, I think, to come to concerts like this. It's sexy. It's dynamic. There's all kinds of variety involved. You have a conductor who's a showman who people like. He's cuddly. You know, that helps. So I think the future is very, very promising. But what has to happen to make sure that the bad stuff doesn't come back? I mean, do you think lessons have been learned, or is it just the economy's lousy and the arts are the first to get hit?
Well, that's true. The economy is lousy, and we as artists have to be aware of the society we live in, and we don't want to, you know, minimize other people's struggles, especially at this time, just to make ends meet, because we've had our own battles. We have to connect with our audience better, I think. We have to hear them, hear their concerns. We'd love to get some phone calls. What is
What do you want from the orchestra? 292-8513. What do you want from the Columbus Symphony? What do you know about the Columbus Symphony? What don't you know? 292-8513 or allsides at WOHU.org.
Speaking of the future of the orchestra, we're facing a wonderful opportunity in the change of venue for Picnic with the Pops. Every change is difficult sometimes. We have to embrace this as much as we can. We have to look at it as an opportunity. And we just hope that our faithful Picnic with the Pops audience will give us a try. You know, come on downtown and try it out, for a couple concerts.
Well, let's articulate what that change is, though. I mean,
yes, the Picnic with the Pops was at Chemical Abstracts for decades. 27 years, I think it was. And now we're going to be moving down to the new Columbus Commons, which was formerly the City Center shopping mall.
We can't park down there. It's not safe down there. We can't eat down there. Talk to me. That's the devil's advocate. I mean, I like it. I'm happy to go down there.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know.
Well, we won't know the particulars until we actually get down there and do it. But I think that with the proper security and the all other types of organizational skills that I'm sure the Kappa is capable of, and all the other parties that are involved in the sponsorship for Picnic with the Pops, I think it'll turn into something very, very fun for people and rejuvenate the downtown area, as Mayor Coleman has been doing so well.
That's important to him, as far as I can tell. Yeah, I think to make downtown a real destination, especially in summer, I think would be terrific. So I'm all for giving it a shot. I'm looking forward to it. In case you hadn't heard, the Columbus Symphony Picnic with the Pops, which for years it has been at the Chemical Abstracts lawn, is moving downtown this coming summer to the Columbus Commons, what was City Center. It's now much prettier than City Center was. And it's right in back of one of your homes, the Columbus Symphony. We have a call from Sean in Columbus who wants to talk about ticket prices. Hi, Sean. Are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
Hey, I don't have any problems with ticket prices. For the adult prices, I think that they're reasonable. But you ask what I wanted from Kappa and from the symphony. I've got two kids. Both are being trained to play piano, and both of them play in the band, and da-da-da-da-da. We don't have a problem with paying money to for music and arts with our kids, but when it comes to taking my kids to, let's say, the symphony or the ballet, when I want to do that, I've got to come up with, you know, four or five full adult price tickets to get them down there to do that. And that's, you're talking $250, $300 for an evening out.
Yeah.
And that's hard to come by, especially when you're paying for piano lessons. And, you know, it's really, I would love to get to have the ability to bring my kids to either the ballet or the symphony and be able to pay a full price ticket for myself and a younger price ticket for the kids.
Sean, thanks for that call. Let's have a little discussion on that. I have to say we have a lot of calls coming in now, so we need to be short and sweet. But I will say that I would never tell you to smuggle your kids up to the broadcast booth and have them sit with me. But I would never, ever do that. But, kids' tickets, children's tickets for the mainstream concerts for Latin. What about that? You think that's a
We need to do a better
possibility?
Job of that. We need to have a rethink of our pricing, I think. But you know, we're involved with the artistic end of it, and we're directly affected by the business management, the pricing, ticket pricing, and we hope somebody from our management is listening and taking notes on this.
Right. I was under the impression that we already had student tickets. Pricing.
You do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure there is. I think maybe the gentleman might have met calling up for tickets. Maybe it's not. No. That speaks to Andy's point. It's not known enough, really.
Right.
But I think if you call the Kappa ticket office, they'll make it very clear. I believe there are student tickets available for everything. Yeah, because I've seen a lot of students there. Bill in Columbus has a very interesting question. He wants more. He wants to meet more of you musicians. Hi, Bill. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
We have partial season tickets, and we just enjoy the opportunities. I think there's maybe only one where the patrons can meet those in the orchestra. I think that it really expands the experience and makes it personal. You sit so close to these people, and they're fascinating in their own right, and it's just a joy to have the opportunity to talk with them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I hope people out there are listening because I agree. I think that's a lot of fun and very interesting to do. How is that for each of you after a night's work when you're, not calming what you the work that you guys right. do to come out and talk to the audience. Is that something that's of interest? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We certainly can't just go home and go to bed.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to unwind after a concert. And so it would be great to talk with audience members. In fact, that's one of the features of our new concerts in the Southern Theater is that we have after the concert receptions between the audience and the musicians. In the adjacent bar of I think it's called the Thurber Bar in the yeah. Southern Theater, and that's one of the great features of our new Southern concerts.
By the way, we have an email of the next Columbus Symphony PNC Arts Alive concert for kids is Sunday, January 8th and Sunday, March 25th at the Capitol Theater in the Rife Center, especially for ages 3 to 10. So that's something for you to look forward to. You can get more information about that on our website, WOSU.org. We will link you to the Columbus Symphony. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the Columbus Symphony with Gene Stanley, Betsy Sturdivant, and Andy Millett, who are three members of the Columbus Symphony. They've got lots of combined experience and combined training. And you talked about Jean-Marie Zaitouni, who is the new music director. He is the boss musician. He is part of the decision about what is played. He is the public face of the orchestra. And his idea, correct me if I'm wrong, his idea of how the orchestra should sound is what is going to be done.
Yes.
I mean,
is
that pretty much accurate? Well, how does one orchestra sound different from another if you have the same amount of players with presumably the same skills? Why does Chicago not sound like Philadelphia? Why does Columbus not sound like Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm. It's a conceptual thing. In Chicago, they emphasize their brass section. At least that has been their tradition over the years. Of course, various music directors have various tastes. You know, they want loud brass, not so loud brass, warmer strings, more articulate, less articulate. It's a very personal thing. My respect for Jean-Marie just goes through the roof because he's got such wonderful ears. He's got perfect pitch. He's got a sense of balance. He's got a sense of musicianship, phrasing, note lengths, everything that serves the music. And I'm so impressed with his conducting.
I am too. But it's fair to say, though, Cicciuliani was and is loved by the public. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was somebody who really they flocked to him. And they've been doing it lately with the new opera company he's been working with. He was, 10 years with the orchestra, around 10 years with the symphony?
Maybe 13 years.
And then, lest we forget, you had Mr. Hirokami, I think, for two,
yes.
who went out with a bang, God bless him, but I enjoyed him. I thought he was, he really knew what was going on. But patience wasn't one of his, I guess, virtues, probably,
and
at the time.
I hear he was hard to get in touch with as well over in Japan.
Yeah, all those calls to Tokyo were mm-hmm. kind of a drag. But we wish him well wherever he is now. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, Betsy, with the Columbus Symphony? Any distinct changes? Picnic with the Pops moving is one of them. The Southern is. What else? What do you think can be done to really ensure the future of the Columbus Symphony?
Well, I do think that our management is focused on building a stronger connection between the musicians and the board and the management and the audience. And I think that connections are the key, and I think that we're all aware of that, that everyone who's in charge of running the orchestra is very aware of our need to connect to the corporate community that supports us and to the city leadership. And we have government support that we've never had before, thanks to CAPA. And so I think that if I could sum up the solution in one word to making sure that classical music survives, that's the word would be connections. We have to connect with our supporters.
How?
One way is by playing in the Southern Theater when we automatically have that connection between the musicians and the audience, and then connecting afterwards in the Thurber Bar, connecting through talking from the stage or showing videos from the stage as we are doing now. Let's see. In last season, we had some wonderful question and answer sessions between Jean-Marie Zaitouni after concerts and the audience. I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Gene Stanley, how about, this is for all of you. I'm a Luddite, so I'm really not able to talk intelligently about all of the new electronic applications and mm-hmm. things like that. But there are a lot of orchestras and a lot of organizations making great use of these mm-hmm. things to connect.
We are, too.
Yeah,
we
are. Talk about that a little
bit.
We
have an iPhone app. If you don't have that app, it's free. Please get it for your iPhone. It's really good. We're on Instant Encore. All of our concerts, all of our classical subscriptions are on Instant Encore. And we're lagging a little bit behind. So in other words, the concert that we just played in the Southern Theater, which was so fantastic, is not yet uploaded onto Instant Encore, but it will be soon. Mm-hmm. And just go to InstantEncore.com, look for Columbus Symphony, and you'll see our recordings. They're free anytime, anywhere. You can listen on your phone if you want to. Or
people don't know that enough. Let's say that again, Instant Encore.
Provides the opportunity for you to listen to the Columbus Symphony for free anytime, any place at your convenience.
All the recent concerts are up there.
That's right.
They will be there shortly.
That's right. That's correct.
How about there's also something going on with other organizations that are asking you to text during performances mm-hmm. or this kind. But people are really embracing. Of course, you're on Facebook. You're on Twitter. You're in all the social media sites, which one has to be these days to be viable. Do you think you're up to speed with that, with the social media and with the apps and things like that?
Yes.
You think you're up to speed?
We are. Okay. In fact, we're ahead of many orchestras, so I think we've done well.
Okay, don't say out there you didn't know about it, because we just told you that the Columbus Symphony is really at the forefront of the modern technology. They have apps. You can go to instantencore.com and find the Columbus Symphony concerts and listen online free at any time. And if you don't mind my saying so, every Saturday night classical series performance is broadcast live from the theater on Classical 101 with himself, me, as the host. There are also pre-concert talks. So we do try to make it as accessible both on the radio and certainly in the concert halls. We have 2 minutes left. I'm going to ask each of you for a wish, one wish for the future of the Columbus Symphony, and be real specific, like in terms of a piece that you'd like to play you've never played before, something like that. Andy?
The city is like an oyster, and we are part of that. The oyster is a scaly, crusty-looking shell, but when you open it up, inside is a luscious, nourishing little morsel, and we are that morsel in the city of Columbus. Come on down to Picnic with the Pops at Columbus Commons. Come on down to the Ohio Theater, the Southern Theater, and taste the Columbus Symphony.
Betsy Sturdivant.
Two wishes. One is to perform the Rite of Spring with Jean-Marie Zaituni conducting. Second wish is for continued and increasing support, financially and otherwise, from our community.
Okay, fair enough. Gene Stanley.
My wish is to, believe it or not, have the orchestra play more ballets. I really miss playing ballets. I miss Swan Lake. I miss Coppelia. I miss Romeo and Juliet and all the great operas. All we seem to do is play Nutcracker, and I hope the ballet will use the orchestra in the future.
You're in Nutcracker season now, which is always, that's the cash cow for everybody, and it's always beautifully done and wonderful. You know, I sit to the Nutcracker once a year, but you guys play it 25 times in 3 weeks, and it's always fresh and terrific. So and it must get on your nerves once in a while, but I commend you and thank you for that and for the great concerts that you've always been, since I've been in Columbus 20 years, have enjoyed and will continue to enjoy. My guests for this program were Gene Stanley, Principal Horn of the Columbus Symphony, Betsy Sturdivant, Principal Bassoon, and Andy Millett, Principal Trombone. Thank you all for being here today. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked businesses and nonprofit leaders, making our community stronger. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.